He kōna ipurangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Readers browsing the country's most popular news site were beckoned by an enticing headline last week. Stuff poll says Christchurch NZ's best place, it began, before adding, New Plymouth not happy about it. The headline contained two crucial selling points for news, controversy and a metaphysical conundrum. First of all, is Christchurch truly New Zealand's best place? Could it be that Stuff reader polls are somehow wrong? But more importantly, how is New Plymouth, a metropolitan centre not blessed with the gift of consciousness, able to express unhappiness? Does a cloud roll off Mount Taranaki and hang over the city to signal its displeasure? Do the waves crash more angrily on Fitzroy Beach? The story didn't answer those questions, perhaps because it was written by another entity which has not been awakened to the joy, confusion and dread of mortal existence. A stand first at the top of the story explains that it was assembled by a robot.
This story was summarised from original Stuff reporting and published member comments using generative AI tool ChatGPT, with oversight and editing from Stuff journalists.
ChatGPT had scanned hundreds of Stuff reader comments under a poll asking them to pick the best place to live in New Zealand and churned out an article summarising the results. This may have struck some as a slightly strange thing for Stuff to publish, given its leaders have been outspoken about the threat AI poses to journalism. Sinead Boucher warned about an AI-driven potential media apocalypse at a recent Select Committee hearing on the proposed Fair Digital News Bargaining Bill.
In the last year, we have seen the rise of AI technology that has been hailed as a game-changer for humanity by the tech companies who own it, but which at its core is an egregious wholesale theft of our content and intellectual property. For the news media globally, this development is looking increasingly like an extinction-level event.
But this isn't some Media Watch gotcha. Stuff has raised concerns about AI scraping its journalism to train its large language models and reproducing that content for profit. But a fair reading of its AI policies allows room for it to do things like summarise its polling data on New Zealand's best city, provided there's a human editor overseeing the final product. Boucher posited some other potential use cases for AI in an interview with Media Watch last year.
For example, you know, text reports based on business company results or sport results and things like that. So that's a labour-saving thing. There's no IP in that. There's no...
But you don't
generic
do that.
We don't do it. Mm. I wouldn't say that for any reason particularly. We just don't do it at the moment, but lots of companies do. So that's an assistant in some way because it allows the journalists to focus on stories that where human insight, human creativity, empathy, human connection, all of those things are really important.
At least one media organisation in New Zealand has already been using AI for one of those purposes. Business Desk employs ChatGPT to put together its stock exchange coverage, an initiative its managing editor Matt Martell says saves time and frees its reporters up for other tasks.
We process NZX announcements into articles, which used to take us a minimum of 30 minutes and now takes us under 30 seconds.
The real issue with Stuff's latest AI story is not so much that it breached the company's editorial policies, but that its whole existence is a grave sin against writing and perhaps creativity itself. Reading the story produces what I imagine to be a similar sensation to a spider crawling over your brain. Its writing isn't so much terrible as unsettling, existing in a kind of uncanny valley between sense and nonsense. David Farrier, the journalist and author of the blog Webworm, highlighted what he called horrific passages from the story, including...
New Plymouth emerged victorious, collecting more nods than any other, from commenters who felt it should have been included in the poll. New Plymouth enthusiasts' comments painted a picture of a utopia where you could hit the slopes and surf waves without losing your parking spot.
As one New Plymouth resident asked on the X Twitter X, how often do you lose your parking spot while surfing? Is that really such a point of difference for New Plymouth? But that sentence was far from an isolated example.
Stuff tossed this question into the ring, and New Zealanders, never shy to back their own patch, came out swinging with opinions as varied as flavours in a Whittaker's sampler.
Other journalists also took a cudgel to the AI-generated work. The Spinos' Madeline Chapman wrote an article headlined, "Oh no, turns out AI sucks at writing." It wrapped the story over the knuckles for beginning with the word "ah" and for using the phrase "New Plymouth enthusiasts." But the reality is AI articles are unlikely to stay this horrible forever. Stuff's travesty is likely just an initial encroachment in AI's inevitable annexation of land traditionally occupied by journalists. I asked Chapman to come onto the program to speak about how journalists can continue to stake out ground for themselves as AI improves. Kia ora, Madeline. Welcome to Media Watch.
Thank you. Great to be here.
What did you think of the writing quality in Stuff's AI story?
I thought it was very bad. But that sort of potentially hides the reasons behind it was bad. Obviously, the quality was bad. You know, it was one of those things that had all of the right words, but not a correct sentence somehow.
Yes! Yes. Because I've been thinking about this, because some of the words are okay on their own, some of the phrases are okay on their own, they seem kind of fine when you take them in isolation, but when you read it all together, it has this weird, uncanny valley character to it, which is makes sense. It's written by a robot.
That is what it was like reading this, where if you read it fast enough, you went, oh yeah, I think I'm getting everything. And then if you actually paid attention, you're like, wait a minute, nothing is in the right order. None of these actually really make sense next to each other. But approached kind of quick enough and with enough of a skim, you kind of maybe could get away with it. It's just unfortunate that it was released the same week that lots of real-life journalists were losing their jobs.
Yeah, so it almost fills you more with like an industry-level dread.
Yeah, or a cynical thought of, is this our flaw? Is this the bottom of what is going to be accepted in writing for journalism?
Yeah, and I guess if we just expose people to it, maybe they'll just get used to this kind of output and just accept it.
There might be a bunch of people who read an article written by AI and say, actually, I got what I wanted out of that. I didn't need a lovely writer's flourish in there. But at the same time, I think we are constantly trying to encourage particularly local readers to want to support financially their local journalism. And a very common response is for readers to then pick the absolute worst thing that they've read on each outlet's site and say, well, I would never pay for this. You know, it's a bit flawed because, you know, if you have a Netflix subscription, it's not expected that you like 100% of the shows on Netflix. You get it because there's some stuff that you really do like and you want to consume it.
But it doesn't seem to anger people in the same way, eh? That
no.
They're producing bad stuff on Netflix. And there is a lot
so
of bad.
Much. And so I think for me, I'm a bit like, I would love for people not to have that approach to journalism because it is an impossible bar to meet to have every single thing that you publish be somebody's like favourite thing that they want to pay for. But at the same time, if that is the approach that lots of people are taking, you really don't want to have the thing that they pick out be, well, literally a robot wrote this and it doesn't make any sense. So ideally we would lift up from that to help counter that argument.
There's also potentially an issue for journalists, working journalists, if it gets better. It is already taking tasks that were done by humans and some of those are the boring tasks like transcribing, but a market report would have been done by a journalist before. Is there any point in resisting that, though? If an AI can do your job, is your job worth doing?
You know, when you say, well, there used to be a person who wrote market reports, these weren't necessarily highly sought-after journalism jobs, so potentially that person writing a market report would love to be writing something with a bit more of themselves, you know, their own style in it. But obviously that's not, you don't just give somebody a new job if a robot starts doing their job. We will have to figure out ways that we use technology in ways that are helpful, and then we make sure that we are still doing things that only a real life person can do.
There must be a temptation to cut costs if you can get stuff to be done by robots.
you know, to give stuff credit, they did not put an AI in charge of writing the front page investigation. It's a poll that Stuff put on their own site, and it was their own comments on their own site. You know, it's a fairly low stakes thing to be producing, and evidently it's a topic that interests people. It gets people to click on it, and if that helps them generate some revenue so that they can then continue to do investigations or other things, you know, maybe that is just the future. You know, we do put out a lot of funny stuff. Not everybody thinks it's funny, and that's fine, but we know that we do it in a way that no one else in New Zealand media does, human or otherwise, and so we're realising that that is a thing that we have that is completely unique to us that won't be overtaken, I hope, by AI anytime soon. And so we'll be making sure that we keep doing that.
I guess that's the unknown though, right? Just thinking, you just got to hope that people will continue to want stuff that's produced by humans that is unique to their voice and that they'll be willing to pay for it. But is there any guarantee of that?
Not really. But I think we've seen some really promising things recently when we have decided to really hone in on things that are like extremely specific. A perfect example was Thursday, Joel McManus went and sat in the Wellington City Council meeting where they voted on the district plan, and technically you could have a robot recording, transcribing, but Joel, being somebody who was obsessed with Wellington's district plan and has written about it extensively for the past 6 weeks, he was able to take all that information and very quickly summarise it and put it out with some thoughtful analysis every 20 minutes for people to tune in, even if you'd never heard of the district plan before. And we did see, one, both a lot of people showing great interest in that live blog, and two, a lot of people then willing to support or donate as a result and basically pay for it and said this is worth paying for. So we've realised that, much like the Netflix thing, if you have a hit show, people will join just for that.
Do you at the Spinoff have an AI policy?
We have an internal agreed upon policy. We don't have a public policy. I think because everything is flowing so quickly and we have no intention, certainly in the near future, to have front-facing AI writing, basically. But we do encourage people to use transcription services if it helps, or, you know, things that help them in the process of forming their story. But anything that would be front-facing, that's, yeah, we are not interested in doing that at the moment. And so we do not have a front-facing policy, but it is something that we're discussing.
This is a slightly dire thing to end on, but the industry is shrinking. We're losing hundreds of journalists at News Hub and TVNZ. There's going to be far fewer journalists in future, cranking out a whole bunch more stuff, having to cover a whole lot wider area. Could it be that we sort of turn around in 5 years and go, thank God for AI, we'd never have been able to actually crank out enough coverage without it?
Well, I guess the question is, what's enough coverage? We publish between 8 and 10 stories a day, and that feels like enough. And I would say our headcount in another newsroom might be expected to publish 20 stories a day. We are continuing to adjust to see if it really is a matter of quantity or if, again, people are willing to pay for something if they know that a lot of work has gone into it and it's something that no one else can do and this is the only place they can get it. I think maybe I'm potentially, you could either say pragmatic or helpless, in that I kind of go, well, whatever does happen, people will find ways to innovate with it and they will find ways to make it work. And a media company launch now would operate, you would hope, very differently from a media company that launched 30 years ago or 50 years ago. Therefore, they would be probably a little bit better suited to be able to figure out these things from the beginning.
The good news for us is that we don't have to do the innovation immediately because, as we saw this week, AI is still crap at writing. But thank you very much for appearing on Media Watch, Madeline Chapman.
That was the Spinoff's editor, Madeline Chapman, there talking to Hayden Donnell about AI and whether it's a blessing or a curse for journalism and journalists today.